Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Listening to the Aston Villa Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Well, the next 30 minutes is, of course, your Villa takeover, which means we want to hear from you tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Share your Villa views in what has happened in the last week, and much has happened, hasn't it? Last week when we spoke to you last, it was before that League Cup semi-final and the drama that took place at Villa Park in that second leg, knocking out the Foxes, which means Aston Villa head to Wembley in the League Cup final, the first time they've reached a domestic final since 2015. And a man who joins us now to tell us all about it is the brilliant Ryan Pitcher from Under a Gaslit Lamp. Ryan, well, I've been looking forward to this show pretty much all week, not just the weekend. You even text me as much after that brilliant display on Tuesday night, beating Leicester, reaching that final. And I think, if I'm being fair, we should just focus the show maybe on that. Let's pretend that the weekend didn't happen, because we don't need that negativity in our lives. Let's talk about the League Cup semi-final. It looked like absolute League Cup limbs at the end. Villa fans invading the pitch. 2-1, last minute drama. Ryan, please, talk us through it.
Yeah, insanity. I text you and I thought I was on for the hat-trick. I said 1-1 penalties, and I'm like, I've got this bang on. People are with me here, and I'm going to win them a few quid. But no, it was, for the 93rd minute winner from Trez, I sometimes give him a bit of a hard time on air, just because, I just don't think he's quite a Premier League wideman just yet, but you know, I was really, really pleased for him. He seems like a really nice, down-to-earth fella, to be fair, whenever he does talk, about the club, and he comes out post-match. And, it was just brilliant to see. Obviously, Leicester had much of the game over the two legs. I thought Nyland was absolutely incredible in goal. Pulled off some really important saves in both legs, it has to be said. And that one that he tipped onto the bar, that was just different gravy really. But we defended really well. Our shape was really good. Absolutely over the moon with that. And now we've just got to, beat City in the final, which shouldn't be too difficult, right?
One-off game, that is what football cup competitions are all about, right? Let's talk a little bit about the team selection. Me and you have spoken at length that obviously Premier League survival is the aim. There may be some rotation, obviously, in that cup competition. Nyland started. I was quite surprised that Reina didn't play. But just on Nyland, what a performance. A man of the match performance and some superb saves, not just to keep Villa in the tie, but to help them go on and win as well.
Yeah, well, apparently Reina had a little bit of a stretch, he was out of the game, I think Nyland deserved his place after the first leg. He did really well there. We prior to really this stage, the latter stages of the competition, we've obviously tended to field more of a weaker side with a couple of first teamers in there, because we don't really have the biggest of squads still. So it's been a real joint effort by everyone. So not just the players that took to the pitch in the semi-final, but I don't think we should forget those that have helped us in the earlier rounds to get to where we are now. I thought the game plan worked really well. We went to their place, and I think, they had a lot more of that game than they did the semi-final, and they still had quite a lot, the second leg, and they still had quite a lot of that. Throughout both legs, where I thought we were very disciplined, as I say, our defensive shape was really, really good, and that was probably one of the most pleasing things for me to do that over 180 minutes against a side like Leicester, who, you know, were notoriously good at stretching the game and really opening you up, and they did that to us at Villa Park in the league, and we've seen them do it to many sides in their own league campaign. So just ecstatic with a victory, and congratulations to the lads, and well done to all the fans that made a fantastic atmosphere on Tuesday night.
Yeah, unbelievable stuff. I mean, Aston Villa now, right, have reached the League Cup final 9 times. That is second best, only behind Liverpool, who have reached it the occasion on 12 times. Unbelievable stuff. But I have to go back to the fans, Rye, because that looked incredible at the end, just epic for everyone. You could see the jubilation, not just on the players' faces, the fans, the coaching staff. What was that moment like? Because we can talk of Premier League survival and the money that's being spent, but this is what football is ultimately all about, the memories it made. And in that 1 minute, everything else was forgotten, wasn't it?
No, I think it's, I must admit, is that I don't like modern day football in a sense where, you know, we obviously, you know, there's all this VAR and the stop starting and the emotion, you know, even in VAR, it's the emotion that can get taken, that, you know, that moment that can get taken away from you in just, you know, a few seconds, I was going to say, or a few minutes if you're at West Ham the other day. This is what football is all about. You know, we've had a difficult few years at the football club. I don't think we can get away from that. You know, you're talking about a club. I know it sounds silly now, but you know, you're talking about a club that, you know, 18 months or so ago were on the brink of administration. You know, and all of a sudden we've got a chance of getting into the Europa League next season through the Carabao Cup. We've got another trip to Wembley, and yeah, we've obviously, as you just well mentioned, we've got an affinity to the League Cup. We have done in years gone by, gone really well in it and lifted it a fair few times. I don't think these sorts of traditions should move away from football. It doesn't matter whether you play at, a League 2, League 1 level or even lower. We're all football fans, and I don't think that should be taken away from us. You know, I do see some very judgmental people just because, you know, they say, oh, you know, why are they running on the pitch? You know, the security of the players and stuff. And whilst I understand that, particularly in this day and age, is, for as long as your security is up to scratch, and, you know, I don't think any fans would be a law to themselves in that sense and attack players or anything like that. I say that and we look what happened to Jack Grealish. But I mean in terms of celebrations, in terms of what happened in what I would say is more so of a controlled environment, the jubilation, etc. I don't think, you know, that should be taken away from football supporters, and it's not an embarrassing thing to do at all. I think it's just it's sheer delight.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, Ryan, we know you was on for a hat-trick of predictions. When it was 1-1, it was very much looking like penalties. We were doing a live reaction show, as we do every Tuesday and Wednesday on Love Sport, between 10 and 11. And we were waiting for penalties. We were waiting for the drama to unfold. Little did we know, more drama with Trezeguet getting that last-minute winner. But was the general consensus of fans here going, we're going to penalties, you know, this is Nyland versus Schmeichel in a sense, and here it goes?
I think it was, I think at that moment in time, I think we're thinking, oh, where's Jed Steering? You need him, obviously, hero of the semi-final last year in the playoffs, but and is quite renowned for saving penalties. I think everyone thought that was the game. You know, it looked like that it was edging towards penalties. You know, Leicester really did, you know, waste a bit of time towards the end there. And, I think they were just trying to see out for the draw. They were happy with the draw and for it to go to penalties. And, you know, I think for them, catastrophic to concede so late on. And, it's just absolute carnage then, isn't it, at the end? And, it's just absolutely fantastic for the football club.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, we know of the fans' perspective, but how much will the day mean and reaching the final mean to Dean Smith? A local lad, he said, what a moment for him to lead out a Villa side, a side he supported since a boy, you know, at Wembley. And obviously, look, we want Villa to win. We know that they're going for it. But just regardless of the result, what an achievement this is and what a sense of pride Dean Smith will feel.
Yeah, and we're under no illusions that it's going to be so tough against City. And, you know, we are massive underdogs. You know, you saw what they did to us. They destroyed us in the league not too long ago and took us apart, in fact. And, you know, it's one of those games where you probably think, you know, we're probably going to win this game once or twice out of 100 times, you know, and we just need to get them on an off day. You know, something to go for us, you know, maybe a missed time challenge by one of their players, get, you know, maybe a red card, you know, something needs to go for us in this game. But yeah, in terms of getting there, I just hope that we put in a performance that we can be proud of. You know, of course I'm proud of getting there, but you know, I don't want it to be like the last cup final when we got there against Arsenal, and you know, they played us, we just didn't even turn up. You know, we got absolutely hammered. So yeah, I just want us to show up and show a bit of pride. And you never know if we can stay in the game, nick something, and things go for us. You just never know. It's a cup final at the end of the day, and Dino must be delighted. You know, we're going to have, yeah, as you say, a Villa boy leading us, a Villa boy managing us, and yeah, it's going to be a great day out at Wembley for the supporters. We all love a day out down there. And the fingers crossed. And you know, we mustn't forget, as I say, is that there is a place that Europe up for grabs here. And long term, I think, you know, that is our goal. It's our goal is to build there, albeit our longer term objective is to obviously go up in terms of positions, league positions, and maybe getting through that way. But this would put us ahead of the curve, so to speak, you know, to get into Europe, you know, probably hopefully attract maybe a better calibre of player than we might have been able to do come the summer, obviously, assuming that we're still a Premier League club. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, what a day out for the supporters. The 1st of March. Ryan, we will give that game a full and proper preview nearer the time. I just want to ask, though, because obviously, before we look at the game on the weekend, losing to Bournemouth, we spoke about last week how that, you know, whatever happens in the League Cup semi-final, they did go on to win it. How would they keep that momentum? How would they sustain that form? You don't want to face a cup hangover of sorts, especially when facing teams in and around you. They did lose, and there is a worry now that maybe we don't want Aston Villa to repeat history in a sense. We've seen, you know, we hate to say it, Birmingham win a League Cup and go down. Portsmouth and Wigan go on to win their respective finals and then go down in the same season. It would be a weird season of sorts, wouldn't it? Winning the League Cup and then maybe not surviving in the Premier League.
Yeah, that would be... pretty disastrous. You know, it's interesting. I saw a Twitter sort of poll today, and not so much a poll, but asking for fan comments. And I was actually surprised at how many Villa fans would prefer a cup win as opposed to staying in the Premier League.
Really?
I've got to be honest. I have struggled to get my head around this. I just cannot quite understand any fan that can say that. I mean, it really does defy logic. So if there are any Villa fans listening that have a different perspective than I, and you know, maybe commented on that, then I would love to hear from them, to be honest. But no, I mean, against Bournemouth, I know we're probably going to do this a little bit after the break, but I was expecting to see a lot more from us in the first half, and you know, I almost thought the adulation of coming through Tuesday evening, getting through to a cup final, we would see a lot more from us. That positive energy, seeing us through to that game. And so it was very disappointing on Saturday, it must be said. But I'm sure we'll talk more about that very shortly.
Yeah, we will. It's an interesting one, right? Where do you sit as a Villa fan? Would you prefer Villa to win the League Cup or obviously stay in the Premier League this year? I'm going for secret option C, which is they win the League Cup and they stay in the Premier League. That's right, I'm having my cake and eating it. After the break, we will look at that Bournemouth game with Ryan. 3 points dropped when they are facing those teams in and around them. And then we'll do something that me and Ryan have concocted together. It is Villa's best and worst January transfer signings.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Aston Villa Fan Show on Love Sports Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Well, we're halfway through the Villa takeover, but what are you saying about it? Because Raya said then, what would you prefer, winning the League Cup or surviving in the Premier League? A difficult choice. Ryan said it's not difficult. He can't even get his head around if you're picking a cup over staying in the Premier League. Have your say tonight on any of the fan shows. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558. An interesting debate, right? Let's talk about the game then that will make maybe a big difference in the Premier League survival. It was Bournemouth, and I watched this one with a very close eye because I wanted to see Aston Villa reacted almost from winning that League Cup semi-final, and it wasn't a poor performance, and they may have all either way always lost that game, but you are looking, like you said, for them to sustain that momentum, keep that confidence, take that forward into their league form. We know Bournemouth maybe are experiencing a little bit of a bounce back at the minute under Eddie Howe, but this was a key game in what is now 13 games left in the season.
Yeah, we just didn't start the game, until they had a man sent off. We didn't really see much from us, and I don't know what it was. We just looked flat, lethargic. You know, there was passes awry all over the place, and you know, it wasn't pretty to watch. I'll tell you that. You know, and when they did have a man sent off, I just don't think that we were proactive enough with the changes that we made. You know, I said it in a message to you earlier. To have five defenders on the pitch at full time when we've been playing 10 men in what was a huge 6-pointer for 40 minutes is quite criminal. I didn't get my head around it. And then to make things worse, when Trezeguet came off for the last 10 minutes, came on for the last 10 minutes plus stoppage, I saw him go over to Jack Grealish and giving him some instructions, fair enough. But then for the remainder of the game, Jack just came deep and was picking up the ball in his own half. We're 2-1 down. It's massive. Even a point in the grand scheme of things. Mm. You know, you saw what was going on at West Ham. We saw, obviously what happened at Watford. You know, results were going our way. And I thought, God, even if we get a point here, with what happened in the end, getting a point there wouldn't have been too bad. And, Jack's in his own half. What's he doing there? You know, he was hurting them, getting in between the lines. They're down to 10 men, and we never really created too much. You know, obviously Samatta scored, did really well. I must say, he looked really, really good. I just don't think we did enough across the 90 minutes, to be honest, to warrant getting anything from the game.
Yeah, Samatta on the score sheet, not only his first Villa goal, but a first headed goal for Villa this season. We'll get on to his impact shortly, Ryan. But you mentioned then, and not to question Dean Smith, a big fan of the job he's doing and has done so far, but five defenders on a pitch against 10 men, 2-1 down, Grealish playing from deep when in the first half and before that, he was the one causing Bournemouth all kinds of problems. Similarly, you said me and you text, I text a Bournemouth guy from the Bournemouth fan show, and he said, we just cannot deal with Jack Grealish. He's an absolute nightmare for opposing teams to play at. We just don't want him to be anywhere on the ball. Maybe was there something in there that if Jack picks it up from deep, he could spark something?
Well, before Lerma got sent off, he was doing a bit of a job on Jack. I kept watching him. Every time we got possession, Lerma would just come across and kind of almost mark him out of the game. So we were struggling to get him on the ball. And it has to be said, in terms of the game itself, Anthony Taylor had an absolute shocker. You know, I'm yet to watch it back. I had a bit of a messy weekend, as you well know, down in Bournemouth. But whilst I'm not complaining about Lerma's red cards, I haven't seen them both back. I thought both bookings were harsh. You know, I think he's done two things in the game, and he's been booked for both. I thought the first one, albeit a professional foul, I thought was a little bit cheap, and the second one was very, very cheap, the ref, Anthony Taylor, he was blown up for things that were not fouls and, not giving stuff for clear fouls, and he just made it a real stop-start affair, which I didn't really enjoy. Jack himself, once Lerma got sent off, I thought, well, this, we'll take the game to him, and we didn't. When we made it 2-1, we had a 5-minute spell well after that. You know, we had a couple of set pieces, a couple of corners, and, you know, a little bit of pressure, but it wasn't sustained pressure. It wasn't quick enough. The ball wasn't going anywhere quick enough. The Canberra had a couple of shots which went out the ground. You know, it wasn't sustained pressure, and I just don't think we did enough. What I will say for Bournemouth is they kept their shape really well. I thought they would drop really deep as the game went on, and they didn't. You know, they kept a relative high line in context of the game. But yeah, we just didn't do too much. It must be said, Keenan Davis did really well when he came on, and a bit of breaking news, it would appear that he's done his hamstring in the under-23.
Oh, Love Sport exclusive.
I know. I've just been reading it while we're on while we're having a bit of a break. You know, it looks like he could have picked up a hamstring injury. I mean, he is literally made of cheese string. The guy is always injured.
That's why we get you on, Ryan. Multitasking at its best.
and he, yeah, lo and behold, we said this. What did we say last week? You know, if we don't get another striker in as well as Samatta, you just know that this is going to happen. And yeah, it looks like Keenan Davis has come off, and he could be in trouble, and that means we could be in trouble, really. So yeah, but I thought he did really well when he came on, and he seemed to, you know, cause him a few issues, and was obviously involved in the goal, in Samatta's goal. But we'll see how. We'll see what happens with his injury that he's picked up tonight.
Yeah, that is very frustrating, definitely, for all Villa fans concerned. Obviously, also, right, it's the winter break now in the Premier League, the first one of its kind introduced into the Premier League. We know the top leagues around Europe have been doing this for years. 13 or so days off now. Has it come at the right time, the wrong time? What are you making of it, and what will Villa be up to? How will Dean Smith use this time to galvanise the squad ahead of what you said, 13 games now, the business end of the season?
I think it's come at a wrong time. I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of frustration, you know, on what was the Bournemouth result, because I think the players knew that it was a good opportunity for them. You know, typically I'd say it was a good time because, you know, it allows us, as you say, to get the lads back together and really, you know, pull forward. I guess you could say it's a mixture of both, which is quite rare. You know, if I was playing, I have to put myself in their shoes almost, is I would be chomping at the bit to get out there and put things right.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. We won't know, obviously, until the games when Aston Villa come back, if they've made a full and good use of that winter break. We did promise it, Ryan. We have to do it. Best and worst January transfer signings Villa have made. What is your best one, and what is the worst one in your eyes?
I've got a couple of mentions for the best, to be honest. Nobby Solano was up there for me back in 2004.
Legend.
I'm not quite sure when the actual winter transfers were first introduced. You know, I remember playing Football Manager as a child, and I could bring in anyone that I wanted at any time in the season. And I know in the early 2000s, you know, sort of past the just past the millennium mark, I think it was FIFA that made them. Compulsory for clubs in Europe. But anyway, yeah, Nobby Solano, he only cost us 1.5 million, and you know, he was only at the club for 18 months, but in that time, you know, I thought it was a steal at that price, and definitely a favourite of mine back then. In terms of, I would probably say Ashley Young and John Carew, the best, and
ooh,
that was
good
easily
shout.
The best double recruitment package we brought into the club. You know, I think that barring Jack Grealish, Ashley Young was the last player that consistently got me up on the edge of the seat. You know, there was an air of expectation when he got the ball, and the whip on his deliveries, you know, coming in on his right foot from the left, and Carew was one of those strikers that you wanted on the end of that, and Carew is just a cult hero for us Villa fans. So, you know, going on to the worst, I should give a special mention to Bent as well in the best. Although I felt he was treated really bad afterwards, I thought, you know, his goals kept us up, you know, back then. So he deserves a special mention. Worst, there's a few.
I'm only giving you one, right, as we're pressed for time. Who is your worst, and will the fans agree with you, your worst Aston Villa January transfer window signing?
I go for Jean McCoon. Big waste of money. It came from a reputation in France, and I was expecting big things. There's almost a bit of an enforcer with a bit of finesse as well. I did watch him over in France a little bit, and I was expecting a lot more, but he was an absolute waste of money in the end. He cost us that over 6 million.
I remember.
And in his fourth game, I think it was, he got sent off, if I remember correctly, against Wigan. And
we must have been playing the same game. I thought he was going to have a bigger impact than he did as well.
Yeah, and that was really poor. And we've got a few on our books now: Hogan, Lansbury, Kalinic. There's a few there we've had recently as well.
A big few, right? Always good to get on. The time spent with you far too short. Obviously, no game for Aston Villa on the weekend, but me and Ryan will be here, as we are every Monday, 8 to half 8, on the Villa Fan Show Takeover, when you can have your say. Simple and easy. We will see you next week at 8.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.